Blog Talk Radio.
Talking political news, cultural topics, and a little witchy stuff, too. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio with your host, Becky Noble. And now, here's your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble.
Paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes I've made a few.
Yes, we are. You are listening to your weekly dose of conservative Wiccanness. With a little extra special twist this week, you are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble. Thank you, everyone, for joining in with me today. You are listening to also Red Nation Rising Radio Network, www.rednationrising.us. Check it out. This, my friends, is a gloating zone. Yes, it is. I will have everyone know right now that, yes, in fact, it is a gloating zone. Wow. What more can we say? But wow. What a night. What a night on Tuesday night. We have a new president-elect, and his name is Donald J. Trump. Donald Trump soundly defeated Hillary Clinton during Tuesday night's presidential election. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, thought that they were calling it historic simply for the fact that if Hillary won, she would, of course, become the first female president of the United States. And while that notion in itself is a good thing, Donald Trump also made a little bit of history himself in the fact that And I saw somebody call it a citizen presidency. And you know what? I think it's a really good description of it. I think that I think it's what the American people voted for. They didn't want somebody like Hillary Clinton, who had been in Washington for 30 plus years. You know, when people talked about outsiders and wanting, they wanted someone that didn't have any experience. They wanted a fresh face. They wanted somebody who, again, had not been in Washington for most of their adult life. Hillary Clinton was the poster child for that. And that, you know, going into Tuesday night, you know, the polls were all saying that Hillary was ahead. Exit polling was talking about how well she was doing. And I really kept trying to be cautiously optimistic. I had a lot of people, you know, that I was talking to online and things like that night that were way more confident than I was, and it was probably a good thing that they were around. But I think when I realized that this may absolutely happen, I think it was probably when they called Ohio for Trump. And I was probably like a lot of the pundits and the talking heads on TV who it was funny because you could almost see them stop in their tracks and think, oh my God, Donald Trump really could become the president. And there was, for some, it was nothing but sheer panic and fear. And so that was fun to watch. That's another thing. It has been fun to watch the media and the establishment. Well, the media is in mourning right now, and they're going to go through the five stages of grief, and so that will be fun to watch. But they are also, and we'll be talking about this at a later date, for anybody who thinks that the press was hard on George W. Bush, kindergarten compared to what goes on and how they treat Donald Trump. But that's going to be obviously more stories for another day. But it was also kind of fun to watch all of the establishment Republicans. Now they're all happy as clams, and they're all on board, and they're all excited about a Trump presidency. Some of that maybe could be genuine in the fact that we also managed to retain control of the House of Representatives and the Senate. So that's also a very good thing. People like to talk about divided branches of government, that one party should not be in charge of all three branches of government, not all three branches, but the White House and Congress. And I guess there's an argument for that it creates some checks and balances. But, gosh, it's awfully fun when it happens, isn't it? But Donald Trump did beat Hillary Clinton by a pretty decisive margin. I think, if I have heard right, I think the final tally was that I think Donald Trump ended up with, and you can all correct me if I'm wrong here, I believe he ended up with 289 electoral votes to Hillary Clinton's 218. I believe that was the final tally, which will allow me to say if I'm wrong here. My chat room is still not up and running, so I apologize for that. But you can, of course, I'm gonna take care of that. Gonna see what's going on with that here. But you can call me here. The number is 347-857-2620. 347-857-2620. You can tell me if you're happy, if you're sad, if you're angry, just kind of what are your feelings about the whole election process and about the upcoming presidency of Donald Trump. But I there's a lot of, I have a report here from Fox News, you know, talking about this, that there's a lot of armchair quarterbacking and, post-election analysis. And one of the things here that they talk about in this report is that there was a surge of support in key battleground states towards the end. And it was really up in the air with states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, even to a point Ohio, states that are traditionally blue states. If we kept talking about all of the states that Donald Trump needed to carry in order to get to the 270 mark of 270 electoral votes and thus get to the presidency. And I think that it was talked about, you know, whether or not that was going to actually happen right up until the very end. But as the vote tally started to come in, I could be wrong, but I don't think that if my memory serves me well, I don't think that Donald Trump was ever behind all night long. You know, it got to a point where it was close, but I don't think he was ever behind in electoral votes. And, this report here goes on to say that there were surprise victories in places like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. And, maybe a little bit of a surprise in North Carolina, because I think there were a lot of people who expected Hillary Clinton to get as far as the numbers of African-American voters. I think they were expecting her to get the same numbers that Barack Obama got, not just in 2008, but 2012. And that just simply was not going to happen. And because a lot of those people were voting, they were voting history. They were voting for the first black president. They were voting against the party of George W. Bush, that kind of thing. And especially in states that had a large black population like North Carolina, she was just never going to get to those numbers. And I was really kind of baffled that people almost expected her to do that. It was not going to happen. But it's going to be very interesting to see how Donald Trump carries out his presidency. I think that we, aside from the people who are marching in the streets and burning American flags, and we'll get to that in a second, It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see how he governs. And when I say that, it will be kind of the most fun for Republicans and conservatives right now is debating the people who Donald Trump will have around him in terms of advisors, in terms of a cabinet, you know, department heads, things like that. And I also have a really good report about that we'll get into later on. I've got so much stuff to cover here, as you can imagine, that you know, it's also going to be interesting to see exactly where in his he's got 4 years to accomplish all this, and it will be interesting to see what gets prioritized. I'm thinking that probably since it is in the process of imploding on itself right now, Obamacare will probably be a first and foremost first thing on the agenda to not only get rid of it, but to replace it with something that is less expensive, first and foremost, something that is more efficient, and something that is more competitive among insurance companies, because that competition is going to breed efficiency. And so I'm guessing that that's probably going to be one of the first things on the agenda. I would think that as far as building a wall in between the United States and Mexico, it's going to take some time to get that ball rolling. So I would think that maybe he is going to try to start getting that ball rolling as soon as possible, because like I said, it will take some time. You just don't, get a bunch of construction workers to haul all their equipment down to the border and bam, 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 start throwing up a wall. So I think that may be one of the first things on the list as well. But, you know, in his speech the other night, I've got a little bit of it here. We'll play just a little bit of it. He did promise to be president for all Americans. And, you know, we're hearing a lot of talk now about, you know, reaching across the aisle and getting along. And the problem with that is that for a lot of times that when we hear those things for Democrats and for liberals, it's kind of when they say, well, we just want to get along and we just want to work together. Well, what that means is they want to pretend that they didn't lose and that Republicans are supposed to just cave to whatever they want. And I think that this might sound kind of harsh, but I think that we've been nice for too long. For anybody who remembers, right, after Barack Obama was elected in 2008, and he addressed a lot of people with two words: "I won. Elections have consequences." Okay, five. I'm doing my Joe Biden impression, but I think that's what we need to do now. You know, if there is room for reaching across the aisle, if there is room for working together on things, okay, fine. But you know what? We won. Elections have consequences. I'll be the first one to say it. I'm not afraid to say it. We won. Elections have consequences. And you know what? I can imagine also that just like Barack Obama, Donald Trump has a pen and a phone. So they can do the math on that and, you know, come to their own conclusions. But it's going to be, like I said, some of the fun right now for conservatives and Republicans is to debate and discuss about who Donald Trump may have as his top advisors and his and the top members of his cabinet. And, you know, the usual names have been tossed about: Newt Gingrich, Rudy Giuliani, Dr. Ben Carson, you know, a whole host of those people. And I think all of those people would be eminently qualified for any position in a Trump administration. And so that'll be kind of fun. It'll be kind of fun to see who gets picked for what. And given the fact that we've retained control of the Senate, for a lot of these folks getting confirmed, hopefully that will not be an issue in any case. But we also have, I know I said I was going to play a little bit. I have a little bit of Donald Trump's speech. I have a little bit of Hillary Clinton's speech. The President and Donald Trump met yesterday at the White House to begin the transition, and which is something that is going to take every bit of the 70 days that Barack Obama has left remaining in his presidency. Don't everyone jump up and dance in the streets at once. But by all accounts, the meeting went very well. It went a little bit longer than expected. Both First Lady Michelle Obama and incoming First Lady Melania Trump also had a private meeting. And President-elect Mike Pence also met with Vice President Joe Biden yesterday. So there is a transition already going on as we speak. The wheels of transition have already started to roll. And it's going to be an interesting 60 days. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, who gets picked, and what goes on. What, you know, one of the big questions I think right now is, will Barack Obama pardon Hillary Clinton? We don't know. We will have to see what happens with that. But I am going to take a very quick break here. We are going to come back, and I believe we are going to talk to Conservative Cauldron Radio's resident political analyst, former congressional candidate Martin Baker. And he will be anxious to hear his thoughts on the election and his thoughts on a Donald Trump administration and Donald Trump presidency. So do not go anywhere. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble, TGIF. People, thank you for tuning in today. Happy Veterans Day to all of the veterans out there. Thank you very much for your sacrifice and your service to our nation. This is the day where we honor you. Don't go anywhere. I've got so much more to get to. There's so much more to come. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio on Red Nation Rising Radio Network. I will be right back.
This is Dinesh D'Souza, and you are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've looked at other website designers. There's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
855-296-9017. 855-296-9017. 855-296-9017. That's 855-296-9017.
Look at these three words written larger than the rest, with a special pride never written before or since. Tall words, proudly saying,
"We the people."
That which you call Eve Blabnista was not written for the chiefs of kings, or the warriors, or the rich, or the powerful, but for all the people.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning out of the words, "We the people of the United States." In order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. To ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution, these words and the words that follow, they must apply to everyone or they mean nothing. Do you understand?
You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew, I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123.
Did you ever look at the stains in your coffee cup and then realize that's exactly what happens to your teeth? PowerSwabs is the five-minute solution to get your teeth white without visiting the dentist. This is John Greenhut, the CEO of PowerSwabs. And if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, all it takes is 5 minutes with PowerSwabs. In 5 minutes, you'll see an average of 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. It's clinically proven to whiten natural teeth as well as caps and veneers. The secret is a tooth detergent that lip stains off of your teeth. Best of all, there's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes and you're done. To try PowerSwabs risk-free, call 1-800-925-9963. That's 1-800-925-9963. I guarantee your bright white smile will have your friends, family, and coworkers talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free today. 1-800-925-9963. That's 1-800-925-9963.
We are back. Happy Veterans Day to all of the veterans out there. Thank you for your service. I know I speak for my fellow citizens when I say that. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio Network, www.rednationrising.us. Check it out. You will not be disappointed. We are going to talk to right now former Navy SEAL. I know he doesn't like to brag about himself, but I will do it for him. And former Congressional District 1 here in Missouri candidate, Martin Baker. Martin, happy Veterans Day. How are you? Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Beckers.
So, what as resident Conservative Cauldron Radio's resident political analyst, put your analyst hat on for a minute. What are your thoughts on the election?
Simple put, wow. Wow is all you can say about it because of the fact that you had so many areas that you would not have expected for there to be, for lack of a phrase, a wave of red. The upper Midwest, prime example. 2 years ago, who would have imagined that Michigan, Wisconsin, or Pennsylvania, for that matter, all would have went red?
Right.
This map was a total upheaval of certain things. Now, was this so much? Was it just a sudden embrace of Republican or conservative principles? No. Or was it more of a rejection of Hillary Clinton personally? I believe this is probably one of the most personal elections that you've ever had. People were not so.
I think you're right. I think I would agree with that.
And you had it you had it on both sides. It was not so much I'm voting for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. I'm voting against Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, whichever
yes.
side that you win.
Yes.
And people need to understand that. It wasn't so much that people were having this epiphany and embracing their liberal or conservative principles. Because both of them, you could question their, for lack of a phrase, their bona fides as a true liberal or conservative. You can question either one of them on that. But
right.
you were more in a situation where I have to vote for this person to reject that person. And on both sides of it, you saw where it carried with coattails. Like, prime example, in Missouri. You saw the Trump win in Missouri translated on so many levels to wins on the state, every state race this election cycle in Missouri was swept by the Republicans, whether it was the
and
governor's
there were other
race,
places
the state treasurer's
too.
Race.
Right. There were other places, too. I think I have a friend in Ohio, in Cleveland. She said the same thing happened there, that every statewide race was swept by Republicans. So I think you're right.
You're seeing these interesting things that happen. But it's not something that should be of a major surprise, because you do have cyclical elections like this where suddenly you see one side doing this. And it's not – again, it's not so much that it's suddenly somebody woke up today and said, hey, we're all Republicans, or hey, we're all Democrats. It's, hey, I'm tired of the strategies of this, so let's try something new. That's what this is more of. Because if you look at both of these.
Do you think, too, that maybe for a lot of people in those upper Midwest states, the people that are in places that they call the Rust Belt, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, places like that, that have seen a lot of jobs go overseas, they were voting their pocketbook, too. They were sick and tired of watching that.
I'm going to go out and basically give a shout-out to my Rocket Fizz boss and former state rep candidate, Mike Rohrabacher, who basically called the shot and said that the unions were going to surprisingly go for Republicans this race because of that, strictly just what you said. It's because they are voting with their pocketbooks. They are voting with the fact of they're seeing thousands of jobs going across the border because of onerous regulations by our government. They're voting their jobs. They're voting their conscience. They're voting their
right.
principle of and the principle is it's financial principle. It's not so much of a moral or a spiritual principle. It's a financial principle. I'm seeing more money taken out of my paycheck, and I'm seeing less of that. And I have to stop that.
Right.
I have to find a way to provide for my family. I have to provide a way for everything that I need to do in this world, whether it's paying my bills, whether it's providing health for my family, whatever the case may be, this is what we are seeing today.
Right. What do you think is the future for the Republican Party? Because I think a big part of this election was that people not just kind of rejecting all of the policies of the Democrat Party and Barack Obama, but kind of given a big middle finger to the Republican establishment. And now all of a sudden they're all on board and they're all excited and they're all in. So do you think there's going to be the upheaval in the Republican Party that people were talking about prior to the election?
What we're going to see and what we are seeing is this is going to be on both sides of it, is that you have folks who have decided to be on a different on a different wavelength, for lack of a better phrase. They've seen the policies. They've seen this candidate after this candidate over and over and over again, and they've gotten tired of this candidate not delivering. They've gotten tired of that candidate not delivering. They want to find something differently. And they want to lay the blame at the feet of the establishment. Or they want to lay the blame at the feet of grassroots not delivering on that. So you've gotten to an election where basically people were looking for somebody to blame. And they found it. They were, sadly to say, you had it where people were looking for a scapegoat. They were looking for a reason to do something different. And in certain cases, we presented candidates when they could find that something different. You use the overworked phrase of political outsider. Whether it was like in the case in Missouri's gubernatorial race, where you had Eric Greitens, who projected himself as a political outsider because he had never run for office. And on the national level, you had the projection of Donald Trump as a political outsider because he had never run for office. And so, of course, that gives the principle of, well, he's never run for office, so he's not tainted by Jefferson City's politics, or he's not tainted by the D.C., by the Beltway, even though you could question that as well. But the point of it is, if people wanted to see an outsider do something on the inside. Now you feel
that
you have a man in Washington, or you've got that man in Jefferson City now. That is the feeling. That is the collective thought by many who decided to cast that ballot this way.
I think so. Real quickly, before I have to let you go, I got so much stuff to get to. What do you think about the future of maybe the Libertarian Party, the Constitution Party, the future of third party, of the future of third parties, basically? Are they going to get a bump in popularity? Are more people going to take a second look at them?
This would have been a prime and perfect election for a third party or an independent candidate to really make an impact in the electoral process. However, the problem was, in the case of the Libertarian Party, if you had had a stronger libertarian candidate, you might have seen more of an approval of certain things. However, we did not.
Mm-hmm.
You saw a weaker candidate in Gary Johnson, which to me, in certain degrees, it set back the process for the libertarian. I would like to see a stronger third party influence, and I say this as a conservative because of the fact I would love to see that become the fact that until the two major parties actually feel a threat, until they feel threatened, they are going to continue to say that whatever they do is a rubber stamp of their policies by the people, and until the people actually reject those policies, it's going to continue to happen. You're going to continue every 2 years. You're going to continue to either flip the House and Senate either red or blue, depending on who you're more angry at that point.
Right, right. Depends on the mood of the country, the mood of the electorate.
Exactly. Depending on that mood, because every political party, by and large, should be fearful of the whims of the people. However, the two major parties are not. They are not, because they see that regardless of what we do wrong, whatever we do right, the whim is going to be is that the people are going to pick of the two major parties. You won't see a third party or an independent candidate being given a chance because of the fact that, oh, well, if you are so good, then why aren't you a Democrat? Why aren't you a Republican? And they are not enunciating their message to separate them from that. You have to have that.
I think,
you have to have a message definition.
I think so. I think you're right. Martin Baker, thank you so much for calling in and giving us your expert analysis. Again, thank you very much for calling in, and happy Veterans Day.
Thank you.
And thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for calling in. That was Martin Baker, former Navy SEAL. He doesn't like to brag about himself, but I will, and former congressional candidate here in Missouri with some expert analysis of this week's election. I think that Martin brought up a lot of good points, and I think that it'll be very interesting as we go forward to see what the futures of not just the Republican Party, but the Democrat Party and other third parties such as Libertarians and the Constitution Party, as we go forward to see what happens with them. But and I think Martin brought up a very good point that either one of those two parties needs to feel a threat. They need to feel a threat from the people, a real serious, concrete threat that they're done with them, that they're looking for, they really are looking for something else new and something else in a new direction. But real quickly, before we move on, and we do have to move on, I'm going to, we'll hear just a little bit from both candidates here. First, I'm going to, we'll hear a little bit of Donald Trump's acceptance speech from the other night. Let's listen.
Sorry to keep you waiting. Complicated business. Complicated. Thank you very much. I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory, and I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard. Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely. Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division, have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people. It's time. I pledge to every citizen of our land that I will be president for all Americans. And this is so important to me. For those who have chosen not to support me in the past, of which there were a few people, I'm reaching out to you for your guidance and your help so that we can work together and unify our great country. As I've said from the beginning, ours was not a campaign, but rather an incredible and great movement made up of millions of hardworking men and women who love their country and want a better, brighter future for themselves and for their family. It's a movement comprised of Americans from all races, religions, backgrounds, and beliefs who want and expect our government to serve the people, and serve the people it will. Working together, we will begin the urgent task of rebuilding our nation and renewing the American dream. I've spent my...
That was just a little bit of Donald Trump's acceptance speech from the other night. And he wants to be the president of all Americans, even people who did not support him and people who did not vote for him. I thought it was a very... magnanimous and very magnanimous speech that kind of put a hand out and reached out to, like he said, those who did not support him, but asked for their assistance and for their guidance in this endeavor that he's about to undertake, and it's the hugest one that you can imagine. We also have a little bit here of Hillary's concession speech, and I'm sure that it was a speech that she never in her wildest dreams thought that she was going to have to give. But I don't know. Do we finally see the end of the Clinton stranglehold on the Democrat Party? That's another thing that I'm hoping that I have time to talk about today, is that for all of the talk of civil war and rifts between Republicans and conservatives and people who were on the never Trump side of the fence, and all those people mixed together, for all of the talk about division that was rife in the Republican Party, I don't think that anybody was paying any attention to the real serious division and the real serious problems now that face the Democrat Party, because as Martin said before, here in Missouri, every single statewide race was won by a Republican. My good friend Julie Prince over at Conservative Warriors and at PJ Media, she lives in Cleveland, and also said that in Ohio, every statewide office was swept by Republicans. So for all the talk of Republicans having problems, Democrats have some bigger problems. But here very quickly is a little bit of what Hillary Clinton had to say on Tuesday night.
Thank you. Thank you so very much for being here. And I love you all, too. Last night, I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country. I hope that he will be a successful president for all Americans. This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for, and I'm sorry that we did not win this election for the values we share and the vision we hold for our country. But I feel pride and gratitude for this wonderful campaign that we built together, this vast, diverse, creative, unruly, energized campaign. You represent the best of America, and being your candidate has been one of the greatest honors of my life. I know how disappointed you feel, because I feel it too. And so do tens of millions of Americans who invested their hopes and dreams in this effort. This is painful, and it will be for a long time. But I want you to remember this. Our campaign was never about one person or even one election. It was about the country we love and about building an America that's hopeful, inclusive, and big-hearted. We have seen that our nation is more deeply divided than we thought. But I still believe in America, and I always will. And if you do, then we must accept this result and then look to the future. Donald Trump is going to be our president. We owe him an open mind and the chance to lead. Our constitutional democracy enshrines the peaceful transfer of power. And we don't just respect that, we cherish it. It also enshrines other things: the rule of law, the principle that we are all equal in rights and dignity, freedom of worship and expression. We respect and cherish these values too, and we must defend them. And let me add, our constitutional democracy demands our participation, not just every 4 years, but all the time. So let's do all we can to keep advancing the causes and values we all hold dear, making our economy work for everyone, not just those at the top, protecting our country and protecting our.
Okay, so that was just a little bit of what Hillary Clinton had to say during her concession speech, not on Tuesday night, forgive me, but Wednesday morning. One of the things I think that, and you know, maybe it's a knee-jerk reaction for conservatives, but every time Hillary says things like this, you have to wonder if it's sincere. But the one thing that she did when she talked about the peaceful transition of power, it's something that almost no other nation on earth does. Very few of them do. And it's something that as Americans, she's right, we do cherish, and that we protect it. And so I will agree with her on that one. But I have here a little side note here, a little report from actually it was originally a New York Post report from this morning that just when we thought that we might be done with the Clintons, that maybe Hillary's concession speech was the last time we would have to deal with the Clintons, oh no. Sit down. Make sure you're sitting for this. Chelsea Clinton, yes, Chelsea Clinton, is being eyed for a congressional run, according to Emily Smith in the New York Post's Page Six column. The daughter of Bill and Hillary Clinton could run for the seat in New York City's 17th congressional district, held now by Representative Nita Lowey, a 79-year-old career politician, once Lowey decides to retire. This is according to the Page Six column in the New York Post. Districts include parts of Rockland and Westchester counties and the Clinton family's home base, Chappaqua. In August, the Clintons bought a home next to theirs, which was intended for Chelsea and her family, husband Mark Mezvinsky, and their two children. The Page Six column said that the Clinton daughter lives and is registered to vote in Manhattan, but could change her residence to Chappaqua to run for Lowey's position. A source told the paper that the Clinton family will continue their political aspirations. While it is true the Clintons need some time to regroup after Hillary's crushing loss, they will not give up. Chelsea would be the next extension of the Clinton brand, said the source. In the past few years, she has taken a very visible role in the Clinton Foundation and on the campaign trail. While politics isn't the life Hillary wanted for Chelsea, she chose to go on the campaign trail for her mother and has turned out to be very poised, articulate, and comfortable with the visibility. Chappaqua is the quote-unquote logical place for Clinton to run from, according to the source. It would be straightforward for her to raise money and build a powerful base. So, just when you thought it was safe, people, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, don't look now. Chelsea is being groomed for Congress. Yes, you heard it here first. Well, you read it in the New York Post first, but then you heard it here on Conservative Cauldron Radio. Don't look now, but we could be looking at a future representative, Congresswoman Chelsea Clinton. Yes, yes, there it is. I am going to take another short break. We are going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about who might be members of President Trump's cabinet. And we're hopefully going to get in, if I have time, we're going to talk about some big problems that the Democrats are facing that no one has really talked about, that no one's really addressed yet. So stay right where you are. We've got lots more still to get to. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio on Red Nation Rising Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Hey, folks. Kevin Jackson here, host of The Kevin Jackson Show. You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew, I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the tax doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the tax doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123.
Are you getting squeezed by the economic downturn? Hey, you were doing fine. Then, all of a sudden, you're having a tough time paying your family's credit card bills. Maybe you were downsized or even lost a job, but you still owe 10 grand or more in credit card bills, and you just can't afford the minimum payments anymore. We're here to help. We are the Genesis Debt Partners. We know the secrets to negotiate better terms with your creditors. Make a free 10-minute call right now and learn how we can help you get out of debt. 800-807-9767. If you owe 10 grand or more in credit card debt and you want to learn how you can pay less and get out of debt faster, call right now. 800-807-9767. 800-807-9767. Get out of debt now. 800-807-9767.
The following message is brought to you by Health Markets, your first choice when you need health insurance for your small business. Do you offer health insurance to your employees? Call us now and see if you can save money. Do you want to offer vision and dental to your employees? Call us. Do you think you're paying too much for your current health insurance? Call us. Do you want somebody else to do all the legwork and search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide? Call us. We're Health Markets, and thanks to a little-known solution, we could help your business save thousands of dollars on health insurance costs and save your employees money, too. Our service is free. Don't miss the great savings. Call now.
800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. That's 800-470-8021.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. Licensed in all states. Product availability varies.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-949-8708. 800-949-8708. 800-949-8708. 800-949-8708.
We are back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio on Red Nation Rising Radio Network, www.rednationrising.us. Please check it out. You will not be disappointed. Two 24/7 live streams of awesomely talented people bringing you great, fabulous conservative internet radio. So please check it out. Very quickly, before we have to get out of here today, like I said earlier in the show, that there is a lot of speculation about who a President Trump might, people who he might pick for his cabinet, to be cabinet members, advisors, press secretaries, chief of staff, that all those positions are being talked about. And a couple of things here. I have a report here from Newsmax, and one of the things it says is that typically Republican presidents draw heavily from the ranks of former Republican presidential administrations. Some people who are on the inside here say that like everything else, that maybe Donald Trump is going to think outside the box on this as well, and which is exactly what they say. The quote here is, unless you strongly backed Donald, he will be looking for fresh outside-the-box thinkers. He picked his campaign staff that way, and he thinks that that's the best way to go. He also loves to be around people he's comfortable with. That's natural. I think if that were me, I would be doing that as well, and I think a lot of people would do that. But some of the names here that have been talked about, Rudy Giuliani, his name has been talked about as a possible attorney general. I think that'd be a fabulous pick. Rudy knows his stuff, and he knows what needs to be done. And I think also that one of the things also that this report talks about is that Trump doesn't want yes men. And he likes to have people around him who are going to disagree with him and challenge him. And that's where Rudy Giuliani's name comes up. He's definitely not a yes man, but Trump listens to him and respects him. And if I'm Hillary Clinton and I have anything to do with her emails or the Clinton Foundation and Rudy Giuliani becomes the attorney general, I'm going to be very, very frightened. I'm going to be sweating. A couple other names here for Secretary of the Treasury. I'm so going to butcher this guy's name. Steve Mnuchin. It's spelled M-N-U-C-H-I-M. He is a former Goldman Sachs executive and head of Trump campaign financing. He would offer Wall Street credibility to Trump's team. Some other names that have been talked about, another one I'm not familiar with, Wilbur Ross. He is a Wall Street backer. And Steve Forbes. I think Steve Forbes would definitely be a good pick. Secretary of Defense, retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. He is the former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. Others say he may take the role of National Security Advisor or CIA chief, which could be elevated to cabinet rank, as Ronald Reagan did with Bill Casey. Again, Rudy Giuliani has been talked about as attorney general. I think somebody else, but it would require a filling of a congressional seat. I think another great pick would be Trey Gowdy. And Secretary of Homeland Security, Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions has been talked about. Secretary of Education, actually, Dr. Ben Carson has been talked about. But while he has a medical background, there has been talk that he would be better off being an education secretary. I think he could also be Surgeon General. Of course, HHS Secretary, he has been talked about. Another one of those names is Betsy McCoy. She is a former Lieutenant Governor of New York, and she is a healthcare expert. Chairman of Council on Economic Advisors, Larry Kudlow of CNBC, I believe. Secretary of Agriculture, Rick Perry. Anybody who knows Governor Perry's track record in Texas, that would be a definite, really good pick. Secretary of Commerce, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has been mentioned. White House Chief of Staff, Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, he has also been talked about. I think Kellyanne Conway would be a fabulous Chief of Staff. White House Counsel, Joseph Schmitz. Former Inspector General of the Defense Department and former Ed Meese aide at Justice. RNC Chair Roger Stone has been talked about. Here's an interesting one, and I like this one. White House Press Secretary Laura Ingraham. I think she would make a great press secretary. And U.N. Ambassador to the U.N., Rick Grenell. He is a longtime deputy to John Bolton at the United Nations. So that would be anybody who has been an aide to former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton would also be a great pick. Some other names I think possibly maybe that could be talked about for other positions, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, Lieutenant Colonel West, and possibly even former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. So there's a lot to talk about there. Very quickly, you know what? I'm gonna save this for next week because I think it's worth talking about. The fates, the fortunes of the Democrat Party. They're not very good right now. And it's kind of where the Republicans were 4 years ago, but I think it's worth talking about, so I want to save it for next week because I think it definitely is worth spending some time on. Because, like I said, for all of the talk about the upheaval and the unhappiness in among the ranks of conservatives and Republicans, it's even worse over on the Democrat side. So I am definitely going to save that, put that in my stack of stuff, and save that for another day. But very quickly, before we have to get out of here. The U.S. election cycle featured two disliked candidates, leading to bitter feuds between supporters on social media. But with the election behind us and Donald Trump heading to the White House, it's time to forget about the past. And Todd Schenk, an assistant professor at Virginia Tech School of Public and International Affairs, has declared Wednesday National Frenemies Day. Well, that was Wednesday of this week, but I guess we could have it again. The unofficial holiday's official website encourages everyone to take the opportunity to re-add those people to your feeds and even go a step further and have a, quote, a respectful yet probing conversation, ideally face-to-face, that reminds you and your counterpart of your shared humanity beyond your very real and valid disagreements. Basically what this is contact all of those people that you argued with during the presidential election cycle, and people that you unfriended, and people that you called a raging commie, and people that you said that were a Nazi because you're voting for Donald Trump. You know the drill. Everybody's seen it. Everybody's heard it. Everybody's experienced it. I know I have. You know, reach out to your frenemies. Reach out to the people that you have said, go pound sand. On Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, wherever it is that you frequent, reach out to them and say, can't we all just get along? Because, you know, can't we all just get along? On that note, I am out of here. Everyone have a fabulous weekend. Go to Red Nation Rising Radio Network, www.rednationrising.us, facebook.com/BeckyNoble, Politichicks, some fairly new stuff there, conservativecauldron.blogspot.com, going to be some new stuff there shortly, and on Twitter, @PatriotWitch. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with me today, and I will see you next time.